Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Old Humble Distilling Company. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe live from Old Humble Distilling Company in Humble. Cutler dude still doesn't know ball. Love this place. Love coming out here. Thank you to Joe. Not just Joe. Owner Joe. He's my favorite Joe. Owner Joe's my favorite Joe.
Mount Rushmore Joe's.
But the bourbon's ready.
Burrow.
Boomtown bourbon.
Yeah, Burrow's above you.
It's ready. Limited
the
supply.
Owner Joe, above.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a new cocktail too, maple pecan old fashioned. That's gonna hit when it gets cool too in the winter.
It was cold for like
I know.
Three days.
And then once it's cold for the first time, it's just permanently cold the rest of the time. That's how I see things.
Yeah, but it's not anymore.
It's 80 today.
I want the cold back.
I know, I'm kidding. If you're on this side of town tomorrow from 2 to 5, they're going to be out at Whiskey Charlie's on the west side doing some tastings too. So Whiskey Charlie's tomorrow, it's on the west side. They'll be doing tastings from 2 to 5. So if you're looking to get your hands on some of the old Humble stuff, make sure you get on out there. It's very, very good. I can attest to that. Full injury report for the Texans is out. D'Amico already told us no Jalen Petrie, no C.J. Stroud, no Kymie Fairbairn. They have ruled out Damon Arnett, the meth head. He will not be playing on Sunday.
Okay.
And Harrison Bryant, neck shoulder, will not play. Now, Jakob Janssen is questionable. Ed Ingram is questionable.
Uh-oh.
Titus Howard will play. So probably Ed Ingram. What is the designation on Trent Brown? He's not on here.
I don't love a potentially interior offensive lineman missing when you're about to play Jeffrey Simmons.
Trent Brown, was he signed to the 53? Because if he wasn't signed to the 53, he doesn't have to be on an injury report.
No, I think he was elevated.
So that's why that might be why he's not on the injury report.
Yeah.
So I don't know his status. Do y'all know his status, Trent Brown's status?
I don't.
So who knows if he'll play? But I guess the question is, who is the right side of the offensive line come Sunday in Nashville?
I mean Ed Ingram's going to probably play.
So he's your right guard?
Yeah, he's your right guard.
All right, who's your right tackle?
Titus.
Okay. So you're not, if Trent Brown is healthy to play, you're benching him.
I mean, I would like Trent Brown at right tackle and Titus at right guard.
Brown's on the active roster.
Oh, then he must.
And he was not on the injury report.
Then he doesn't have a designation.
So he doesn't have a designation.
Yeah,
so Trent Brown's, he's good to go.
Yep.
So you have your full disposal of linemen. What's your starting offense? What do you want your starting offensive line to be?
Do you think Ingram can play left guard?
No.
Okay, well, then I would go Trent Brown at right tackle, Ed Ingram at right guard, Andrews at center, Howard at left guard.
Okay. So you're benching Jarrett.
Yeah, but Titus isn't going to play left guard at this point in the season, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's been practicing at right tackle still. So
I would just keep Patterson at left guard, and then I would put Ingram back in the starting lineup at right guard and Titus back in the starting lineup at right tackle. Trent Brown was solid. I don't think he was good enough to supplant Titus Howard, who's been good at right tackle.
It's more just is your collective better if Howard's at left guard for me.
Your five is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just raises the floor of your offensive line. But my guess is that we'll see Titus back at right tackle this weekend.
Ocho, Jeremy, can I interest you in some info? Did you know the Houston rapper Kirko Bangs went to North Shore High School? Of course I did. Why wouldn't I know that?
Didn't know that.
713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, Old Humble Distilling in Humble. So I was thinking about this, Joe. I was looking at the Houston – actually, my friend Dave brought it up. I was looking at the Houston Texans schedule.
Okay.
And I was wondering to myself, how many wins can the Texans actually get to? They're fighting for a 500 record on Sunday. It's been a rallying cry. I'm just kidding. I doubt it's been a rallying cry. But how many wins can they conjure up by the end of the year? High end, ceiling. We're talking about the roof is the ceiling here.
So it's the baseline. You start at 7. Because Titans, Cardinals, Raiders. So that gets you 7 wins already on the year. And that's how many can you win at that point. I think the cap is still 9 for me on the season. 9 wins on the year is what I'm looking at. Because I think you can win one of the 3 Buffalo, Indy, Kansas City game, and then split one of those last 2 games of the year with the Chargers and the Colts. That gets you 9 wins. I think 9 wins is the cap.
I hate that you said that.
Because that's what you agree with?
That's the exact answer I have. Like, I'm with you.
10.
Okay, which one?
They beat Indy twice.
So they sweep Indy?
That's how they get to 10 for me.
I think it's possible.
I mean, they can beat Buffalo.
I think they can. So
Buffalo plays down to their competition, and they beat Josh Allen last year. And I know he got a concussion late.
Buffalo just got trounced by Miami.
Yeah, they can beat Buffalo on Thursday night if C.J. Stroud is out there, which I do not think he's going to be.
Are we sure that that's playing down to their competition, Buffalo, or they're just that? That's just who they are.
Well, they've played up to like the best teams this year.
Okay.
So I would say it's that.
They couldn't keep up with the best team in the AFC East.
Patriots?
In Buffalo.
It's true.
On top of that. My thought process is that as well. Like Tennessee, Arizona, Vegas, those should be your standard wins. Two of those three are at home, too. The only one that's on the road is this week against Tennessee in Nashville where Rocky's at, but he's banned for the rest of the show. I think that the way you look at it, Tennessee, then you have the gauntlet of Buffalo, Indy, Kansas City. In my mind, like just split Buffalo and Indy. Like I don't think you're winning at Arrowhead. So split Buffalo, Indy. Fast forward to the end of the year, whenever you go to L.A. and then you're home for Indy. I think you split that again. I think the Texans are capable of losing one of those three games too that you have chalked up as a guarantee.
Absolutely.
So I think the roof is their ceiling. 9 wins.
I agree.
I actually don't see them. I don't think they can get to 10.
No, 10 would be really challenging. Like you would have to see CJ come back and the offense to turn a corner that they haven't turned this year. You know, like being 4 for 5 for touchdowns. In the red zone this last weekend, like that has to be a sign of things to come going forward. The third down conversion we saw be really good this last week against Jacksonville. That all has to be like consistent going forward to reach the 10. I don't see it. I think they're 9 wins. I think they're just on the outside looking in. And this season's a disappointment. Like I'd be shocked if they get to 10, honestly, at this point. They just haven't played well enough offensively.
If you told me, hey, map out a plan that they get to 10. And I would say that they take the last two. You beat Tennessee, yep. You split Buffalo Indy, whichever one, doesn't matter. You split Buffalo Indy, you lose at Kansas City, you win the back-to-back home games, home for Arizona, home for Vegas, and then you beat a depleted Los Angeles Chargers team on the road, which they've already played there this year, so this could be like a home game for the Texans. I say that tongue-in-cheek. And then maybe the Colts are like, they've already clinched a seed, you know? They clinched the seed, you can just roll out of bed and win that game. So if you had to create a path for 10, I think that's the path. You beat Tennessee, you split Buffalo Indy, lose at KC, you win Arizona, win Vegas, you win at LA, you win at Indy.
Yeah, but
that would be the path.
A 4-game win streak to close the year.
Yeah.
That's a
little
bit more.
Feels very optimistic for this team.
Yeah. I look at it more as like back-to-back wins after a soft schedule. Same thing, but like I guess a different lens.
And also like it's not always true, but it does it's challenging to get that sweep in your division. Like it does like it has been proven over time. Like you see these teams, they split against your divisional foes. It feels like Buffalo is like your only way. Like you have to beat Buffalo. Or then you have to beat Indianapolis twice.
To get to 10?
Yeah. Because I just don't know if you're going to beat Indy twice. And I'm low on Indy. Like, I'm not a believer in Daniel Jones.
It wouldn't shock me if they beat Indy twice.
If Daniel Jones is going to turn the ball over the way he has, it's definitely possible.
I mean, they're so good defensively. Like, they can not necessarily stop Jonathan Taylor, but you can neutralize him a little bit. Maybe you force Daniel Jones to beat you through the air. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes that game winnable. I don't think it's a very high odds. Like, what are the chances, do you think, that the Texans sweep the Colts? I would put it at 25, 30%.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
And it's still, I mean, depending on how the season plays out, the Chargers schedule, like, you didn't gain enough ground on them with the way you've been playing recently. But, like, it is possible, like, that game could be for everything. The Chargers schedule, their next two games are easy. They play Jacksonville and Las Vegas. But then they roll out and they play the Eagles and the Chiefs. Before they play the Cowboys, and then they play the Texans and the Broncos. The Chargers' schedule is tough. If they slip up in these next handful of games, like it is set up to where you could have that game be pretty much a playoff game. To where if you win against the Chargers, you can control your own destiny to get to be a 10-win team if you beat Indy the following week. I just can't think the offense is going to be that good, and the help that you need, it's just getting harder and harder.
Yeah, you've made yourself in a spot where every game is critical. Mm-hmm. Like you lose to Tennessee, season over.
Yep. Like, oh yeah.
I don't like to do the must win thing. Like that whole thing. I'm not a fan of that because they could lose to Tennessee and then run the rest of their slate. Not likely, but possible. If you lose to Tennessee,
you're done.
You're 4-6 with that schedule. Like you're toast.
You've got no hope because then you need multiple teams to collapse.
Yeah. And you're doing it with a backup quarterback. I think that game is losable.
Yes.
It is a losable game. Texans have lost in a lot more optimal situations. Mm-hmm. They've lost probably as bigger favorites, right? They had to have. 713-780-3776. What are the top storylines you're excited about between Texans and Titans? Joe said he doesn't think Stroud's going to play Thursday either, so we'll touch that as well. Jeremy and Joe live from Old Humble Distilling Company in Humble on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, but before we go to the break, I got to tell you about Burger Chan. Burger Chan is an elite burger joint. When I'm speaking for someone, it's because they're the best at what we do. I speak for Old Humble Distilling Company because they're elite at making whiskey. I speak for Burger Chan because they're elite at making burgers, but not only just burgers, chicken sandwiches, hot dogs, falafel, breakfast sandwiches, and fried fish sandwiches as well. Hopefully you guys stopped by this last Monday after the Texans got the comeback win against the Jaguars, got your free side with your entree. I know I did. I went and got a burger and some curly fries. Sean Mapes went by, got a burger and some regular fries. I believe Lance also went by, got a chicken sandwich and the spicy tots. Those spicy tots are delicious. And you've got plenty of options to try when you go by if the Texans beat the Titans this Sunday to get your free side with your entree. You can go with, you know, the custom. You can custom your sandwich any way you'd like it. Or you can go with some of their chef-inspired burgers, which are all just awesome. They have the Burger Chan sandwich, you know, right after the name of the restaurant. It's on brioche bun, 2 2-ounce patties, shattered saute onions, Thousand Island lettuce, and tomato. You can go the barbecue route, their barbecue burger, cheddar bacon, onion strings, pickles, barbecue sauce, or honestly, the way I'd probably go, patty melt, rye bread, cheddar and Swiss cheese, sautéed onions, Thousand Island dressing, all of those just hit. And remember, you have plenty of time to try any of those burgers or get a burger made custom any way you want it because they have extended hours. They've extended their hours to include lunch service on Mondays and now dinner service Wednesday through Saturday until 9 p.m. But pro tip, you make sure you find out for yourself, again, like I said, on Mondays, because for the rest of this football season, not just this week, Burger Chan is partnering with us for Victory Monday. So when the Texans beat the Titans this weekend, stop by Burger Chan on Monday, and you'll get a free side with your entree. Order a burger, a chicken sandwich, a fried fish sandwich. That's really good. It's a mahi-mahi bread and panko breadcrumbs. Great. You can also get hot dogs, falafel. Order any of those and get a free side. Sweet potato fries, tots, spicy tots, fried cheese curds, curly fries. Get one of those free with your order. Remember, just stop by on Monday after the Texans win. Mention my name, Brian. Mention ESPN 97.5. Or just say, go Texans, and get your free side with your entree. Burger Chan, best burgers in the city. Find them at 5353 West Alabama. And see their full menu at BurgerChanHTX.com.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Old Humble Distilling Company. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Out here at Old Humble Distilling Company, he's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Tonight, a date night at Old Humble Distilling Company. Great cocktails, Smoking Bowls food truck out here. Joe was just taking a look at the menu. We know what he's going to get. They got trivia every Thursday night. Happy hour on Wednesdays. $8 cocktail steak night on Tuesday. They're going to be out at Whiskey Charlie's, too, from 2 to 5 tomorrow with some tasting. So make sure if you're in the area, you swing on by and enjoy. All right, 713-780-3776. So you think Stroud is questionable Thursday?
Yeah, it's just the feeling that just –
But is it more than a feeling?
No, I don't know anything. I mean, he hasn't gone through any of the practice protocols yet. And maybe they're being precautious, but like when you look at like the last step is participating in a practice. Now you can do a simulated practice or whatever they call it, where like, you know, there's not actually
They kind of guess,
right?
On Thursdays. Thursday games.
But so you, like on Tuesday, they can say, Oh, well, he would have practiced if we had practice today.
Yeah.
So you can do that, but just with where we're at and at this point that there hasn't been any of that process yet just makes me feel like we're not going to see him.
Yeah, I think that he could just – I think he could be a participant in practice on Tuesday and be ready to go.
Yeah.
I think he plays next Thursday. That's a long time to not play with a concussion. It's a long time. Now, the first time he did miss, what, two games?
Missed two games.
Yeah. I think it carried over a bye perhaps too. So
that sounds right.
And it was pretty gnarly, man. A little gnarly hit. Like, we haven't, like, seen – like, I hate doing the whole guessing game.
Well, I mean,
like,
concussions are just impossible to know. It's – I mean, Titus was talking about being, like, dizzy and all these different things. Everyone feels them a little bit differently. It's sensitivity to light can be an issue. Like, there are so many different, you know, symptoms that a player can be going through or a person can be going through that it just makes it hard to know when they're going to actually come back.
I mean, I felt like Titus's was pretty significant.
Yeah.
And he's the first one back.
Yeah.
So –
it's just all about your symptoms. Like, they just have to go away. And some of them just last longer than others.
Yeah,
so,
it's weird. I mean, it's just inexact science.
I hope he's back on Thursday.
Yeah.
It would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. What are the top storylines you're excited about, Texans-Titans?
I mean, I want to see what Davis Mills can do in just another week. If you can have a it's more for the offense going forward, but with Davis Mills operating it, can you put together a full football game? You know, you've got these two games that you've won this season versus Tennessee and Jacksonville, in which you've been pretty much a terrible football team for six of the eight quarters in those games. And you've played great in the fourth quarter of the Jags game, great in the fourth quarter of the Titans game. But, like, is there anything last week that, again, can just translate into this game where they can just be better from start to finish offensively? That, to me, is, like, is the storyline for this game.
Yeah. Me's like the before you like talk about the individual aspects of the game, like I'm just curious if they can avoid catastrophe. Can't say that after I've had a couple sips. Catastrophe.
I'm got there.
Yeah, I got there eventually. Felt like George Springer there for a second. I want to see if they can avoid that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they had this peak of momentum. They didn't look great through three quarters. Like they were down 19 to the Jags, who you know playoff team entering the week. They're not that bad football team by any stretch of the imagination, but not a team that you feel like you should be down 19 points to at any juncture ever. And they were. So I do think that Sunday's game is losable. They're capable of losing that game. I think if they played 10 times, they win it 7, maybe 8, not 6 or 7, 7 or 8. I think they would, but they're capable of losing it. So like, can they stay away from like the hangover, the trap of playing a really bad football team, one of the worst teams in the NFL? Because I don't think they're good enough to go into the like roll out of bed in Nashville and just show up and win, even against the Titans. Mostly because of the offense just hadn't been there, and you're playing a backup quarterback. Now the things in between the game, like okay, D'Amico Ryans was like he was pounding his chest about like it's the rookie. They're no longer rookies, right?
Yeah,
he was saying that to Vandermeer and John Harris on his little like coach's corner or whatever. Okay, well, let's see it. Let's prove it. Like, words are one thing, actions are another. Like, Woody Marks played a bunch of snaps against the Jags. I think that was more based on the script of the game. You fell behind early. Woody Marks can be on the field more because you're probably going to throw it more, and Woody Marks is on the field more when you throw it more. Is it going to be more of a 75-25 split, even if they have a lead or it's a close game, or is it going to be closer to the 50-50 that it's been all year before last week? I'm curious about that. Jalen Noel, again, had a better game than Christian Kirk and had more production than Christian Kirk despite playing fewer snaps than Christian Kirk. Now, it became a little bit more level. Does he jump him? So that's something that I'm eager to see. I'm eager to see the configuration of the offensive line. I think I have a pretty good idea of what they want to do defensively in terms of how they line up. Like, because we saw it a little bit last week where we saw Jalen Petrie didn't play last week. So Miles Bryant filled in, but then MJ Stewart got hurt. Bryant moved to safety. They bumped Lassiter inside, and they played Smith whenever they went nickel instead of whenever they were going 4-3. So do they continue to do that? I think they will, which I'm kind of excited to see Lassiter as your nickel corner for 60 minutes of football.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun because he can dominate there.
I think so.
But the safety one is it's concerning. Like, just you had so many injuries at the safety position. You took the shot on C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It didn't work out for you. They just have not been able to. It's just, is it sustainable to keep having success at the safety spot as more and more guys keep getting hurt, especially when one of your safeties doesn't want to tackle?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's not a great spot to be in.
No, it's the weakness of the defense
by far,
very clearly. Yeah,
yeah, and there's not really an end in sight. Like when Jalen Petrie comes back, he's not helping the safeties. He's not going to move back to safety. He's going to play nickel, and Lassiter's going to be an outside corner again. So you're kind of stuck. And, like, that's why I was wondering whenever MJ Stewart got carted off the field or whatever, the status of Jimmy Ward. But Jonathan Alexander tweeted in his mailbag earlier this week, said that he's not close to returning. So there's not help on the way. Deadline's over. Like, what's C.J. Gardner-Johnson up to? Is he still on the active Bears roster?
Yeah.
Can you bring him back?
No. You can't have him now.
That's going to hurt. That's going to catch up to him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they have the number one defense in the NFL and all of that. Those injuries – I'm not sure they have the best defense in the NFL anymore. Statistically, they do. But just, like, the production the rest of the year, I mean, Miles Bryant was on the practice squad last week.
Yeah.
And now he's your starting safety for the rest of the year.
And it might not hurt you this weekend, but we might see the cracks in the defense in which they're going to hurt you against Buffalo. Like, that's what you're looking for. It's like, yeah, you can probably win this game with your safeties, but as you get ready to take on Buffalo and Indy and Kansas City, what does that position group look like? It's by far the biggest concern with this team is that, and obviously when you're getting C.J. Stroud back, but those are the top two at this point.
Yeah, it's gonna be going to be something that's pretty interesting. Ward versus Mills, says somebody. They're saying that Ward versus Mills might be the new Brady versus Manning in the AFC.
Oh, really?
People were saying that. Yeah, famously saying that.
I heard it was in the UFL in a couple of years, but yeah.
Nobody outside of Tennessee and Houston's watching this game. Boring. That's probably true.
Yes.
I mean, that, what, not much pushback. I think I saw the over-under is, what, 37?
Yeah, it's 37 and a half last time I saw it.
Yeah. MJ Stewart is just a guy. I don't really disagree with that, but he's better than Miles Bryant.
Yes.
Like, MJ Stewart was the first guy they went to, and they were willing to cut C.J. Gardner-Johnson in playing every single snap, and has been the starting safety on what has been the number one defense in the NFL for how long now? Six games, probably? Mm-hmm. Six, 7 games? So, that was an accident. So, subconsciously doing it now. So, I don't disagree that he's just a guy, but he has been the starting safety for a month and a half now for the number one defense in the NFL, clearly better than the guy who's going to take his spot because he was playing over him, and then the other guy was on the practice squad. By the way, he's playing nickel corner in the game that Jalen Petrie did not play in. So, yes, MJ Stewart's just a guy, but he's the superior guy over his replacement now.
And it's I don't think Cam Ward's going to dice him up back there.
Shouldn't.
Or Tony Pollard's going to have big runs, breakaways. Is he even playing this week?
Yeah. I mean, he and Tajay.
Yeah, coming off
there.
A bye.
Yeah.
But so. It looks like they're going to get Calvin Ridley back, too.
Yeah.
He's easily their best receiver.
I still think it matters as long as Cam Ward is their quarterback.
Shouldn't. Yeah. Now, they did come off a bye, so I wonder if they look a little bit different. Try to get away some of the bad and call more of the good plays.
Do you think there's I know this maybe not the quarterback class to do it with. If it was, I think it'd be 100%. But do you think there's a chance they move on from Cam Ward after this year?
No.
I don't think so. I think you give him a better offensive coach and you see what he can do.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think you're moving on from Cam. Plus, I don't think there's like a – you kind of alluded to it. There's not really the quarterback in this draft that you would do that for. If there was a Caleb Williams type of prospect, an Andrew Luck type of prospect.
I think they definitely would in that occasion. Yeah.
The lack of – and look, I think I like this quarterback class. I think there's some good players, but it's not elite. Like, at least as prospects.
No, it's fallen off. Some of the guys you thought were going to be great have not had a great season.
For me, like Ty Simpson would have to come out. And
oh, he's coming out.
You think so?
Yes.
A lot of people think he's not going to.
He's
going to
be a top 10 pick.
He's probably going to be the first pick then.
He's going to come out. I don't know if he gets picked ahead of Mendoza.
Mendoza Simpson would be tempting if I'm the Titans. I don't think I would do it.
Yeah, not me.
But, I mean, it's good for the Saints and the Jets, I think. Like, they're a little set up for success there. But
for sure.
Yeah, I think Cam Ward's got one more year with a new coach, maybe a new GM again, and we go from there. Titans.
No, I think it's the class specifically. But I also don't think they're giving up on Ward yet. Like, this is a terrible, terrible situation for him to be in. Like, I don't even look at Ward in a negative way. It's like, good luck, kid. Here's the worst team in the NFL. Here's a coach that we're going to fire in a few weeks. Here's a, patchwork offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, Calvin Ridley, who I always thought was overrated, is his caliber of, like, where he's expected to be in the NFL, and then rookies behind them, like that team's terrible.
Yeah, they got nothing.
At least offensively, they have a couple of defensive pieces that are that can scare you, that can do some things.
Yeah, I mean, but the long-term outlook for the Titans is still very bleak, I would say.
Mm-hmm. The solution for a suspect safety room is a good pass rush, and they have that. True, it minimizes the lack of quality there, no doubt. Keith from LA can't say you have the best defense with a record like that. I mean, statistically, they are the best defense.
Yeah, I don't.
They have the number one defense in terms of yards allowed. They have the number one defense in terms of points allowed. So it's a factual statement, Keith, from LA.
That
it's not an opinion. It's a fact. Now, I think there are some things game script where if they had a better record, their defense might not be as good.
Okay.
Like if you have some two-possession leads, like in three of your games that you go on to win that you lost, like the other team's playing catch-up, they're going to rack up some yards. You're not going to really care because it's a two-possession game. So I do think that the game script that they've played in has actually helped them a little bit.
Counterpoint, though, because of how bad the offense has been at times, that it's put the defense out on the field probably more than it should be in some games.
Yeah, I mean, even like look at last week, the first 10 points of the game.
But if the other teams are winning, now you're worried more about time of possession than moving the ball.
True.
Maybe.
So there's there are pros and cons both ways, and at the end of the day, it might be neutral.
Hell, I mean, the Jaguars got at least 10 points off of short fields with turnovers last week, so that counts against the defense when it probably shouldn't have.
It hurts the points per game. It doesn't hurt the yards per game.
Doesn't hurt the yards. It hurts the points, yeah.
No, but I mean, it's a factual statement that they're number one in the NFL in yards and points allowed per game, Keith from LA. So you can say they have the best defense with a record like that.
Because
why?
The numbers,
because it's a fact. Kiefer Mills. I know it's tough, Kiefer Mills. I know facts are kind of a mysterious thing in L.A., Key. Like the fact you're an Angels fan. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get to the fix. We're going to pick winners in this football weekend, and you know that we always win. It's Jeremy and Joe live from Old Humble Distilling Company on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Affordability is the biggest problem right now in today's car market. New vehicles average nearly $48,000, and most people's wages, they haven't kept up. That's why some people are stuck with these seven-year loans just to make the payment work. It gets you upside down, negative equity, all that stuff you want to try and avoid as much as possible. That's where D&M Leasing comes in. They solve that problem with the Easy Lease, offering lower monthly payments, no money down, and terms that make sense. And right now, it's actually no payments until 2026. All you got to do is go to dmautoleasing.com or call their phone number, 713-290-1000. Speak to one of their leasing agents. You'll work with one person the entire time. They'll figure out the kind of car you want to get to. Once you make that decision, 24 to 72 hours, you will have a car delivered right to you. They will take your car away, your trade-in, and make the process all easy and simple. Reminder, no payments until 2026. Just dial 713-290-1000 or visit them online at dmautoleasing.com.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Old Humble Distilling Company. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Live from Old Humble Distilling Company in Humble, the Bhutan Bourbon is ready, boys. Limited supply. New cocktail as well, Maple Pecan Old Fashioned. Stop by Whiskey Charlie's on the west side. They're doing tastings from 2 to 5 tomorrow if you want a sample. You still can swing on by today. Joe's about to order food. He's going to tell you if it's good, but I already know it's good. Smoking Bowls is out here, food truck. It's date night at Old Humble Distilling, so if you're looking to take out the Mrs. or Mr. for something to do tonight, why not Old Humble Distilling Company? A little date night, have some great cocktails, great drinks, and some very good food from the Smoking Bowls food truck. All right, the fix. The fix, where we pick games each and every week.
We do.
And we see if we win or if we lose. Joe last week went a perfect 3-0. Brian was 2-1. I was on the podium, though, with a 1-2 record. Joe's in first place on the year at 16-11. Brian's in second place at 13-14. And I'm bringing in the rear at 11-16. I famously do not know ball. But because I sucked for luck here, I sucked for the first pick this week.
Again,
is what's happening here. I like to do this each and every week. My first pick.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
I always have to go double-check the ESPN lines with you guys because I always bet them on Thursday morning and they change a little bit. I'm just going to go over-unders this week. Buffalo, Tampa Bay, I think this is going to be a shootout. Both defenses are questionable. Buffalo, Tampa Bay, hit me with the over 47.5 points. I think ESPN still had it at 47.5 points, but I'll take the over there.
You get it at 46.5 points.
Thank you. I got a bad line then on my own personal bets. 46.5 over between Buffalo and Tampa. How's the weather? It's not bad.
No, it's fine.
I will also go with an over or over under on my first pick. 48.5 with Rams Seahawks. I think that number is too high. Give me the under. Rams and Seahawks, both teams ranked second and sixth, respectively, in points allowed. I don't know why that number's that high. I think they're obviously Stafford and Darnold have been tearing it up. But some of those defenses, again, they rank second and sixth in points allowed. The over-under 48.5. Give me the under.
All right. I will, I'll go to the NFL for my first game here. I'm going to take on the road, big-time favorites, but Dylan Gabriel sucks at football, and Lamar Jackson is healthy and ready to go this weekend, said John Harbaugh. Almost got me there, Jeremy. So I'll take the Ravens.
Jim Harbaugh, coach of Michigan.
Yep, Michigan, man.
I'll take the Ravens minus 7.5 in that one on the road, and then to college football we go. You know what they say, Jeremy?
What do they say?
You throw the record books out. When teams play at Wrigley Field.
We got a rivalry.
No.
Come on. Joe.
I've never heard that.
No one said that, Joe. You're the first.
Yep.
I've never heard that.
I'll take Michigan minus 10.5 at Wrigley Field against Northwestern.
Do you like, quick aside, do you like games being played at Wrigley Field?
As long as they set it up correctly, because one time they did it and they could only go one way.
Yes. That's my point. Like, yeah. Like when they do it at Yankee Stadium, it's fine. Like, it's big enough. Like, Wrigley Field, not big enough.
Yeah.
But,
I'm a fan of it. I like weird.
It in theory. It's just, I don't think that's, like, it's not big enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about the one year they went one way. What was the field that they had it where they had the sidelines both on the same side? Do you remember that?
Oh, no, I don't remember.
That was like
that
a bowl
one.
Game. Was it St. Pete?
I don't remember.
They
don't,
had a bowl game yes. where they had to have both teams on the same sideline because of the configuration being very, very bad. So
that's hilarious.
You're right. I like it whenever it's on a field, but I like it to at least be able to have teams on opposite sidelines and go both ways of the field.
Yeah.
That's exactly. The one caveat
that
I have. Two caveats I have.
It feels like a very fair minimum.
Yeah, I feel like those are fair caveats, yeah. Right?
So I'll play another over-under for my next pick. I'm going to take the over 49.5 in Bengals going to the Steelers. Bengals are allowing 34 points per game on their own, so it feels like I'm 90% of the way there, 75% of the way, wherever the number is. And they've also scored, the Bengals, that is, 38 and 42 points in their last two games since defeating the Steelers. It feels like this one is going far over 49.5.
I like that.
All right, next game I'm going to go with the over, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. I think both of these defenses aren't very good. I think they're going to score. What happened?
That's what he just
That's
said.
That's what I just picked.
Jacksonville and the Chargers. This is a very low number. Both defenses are okay, but it's a low number. I think we're going to see points here. Jacksonville Chargers are going to go over the 43.5 to the moon in Duval.
Okay.
Oh, I got another one. New York Giants. They take on the Green Bay Packers. I got the under in this one somehow. 42.5. Neither of these offenses are good. We saw Green Bay against Philly. Did not do anything. We don't know if Dart's not going to play.
No, Jameis
Winston's going to play. But the Packers' offense is terrible. Give me the under in that one between the Packers and the New York football Giants.
I like that. The only thing that scares me is Jameis pick six.
I wasn't seeking your approval, Brian.
It kind of sounds like you were.
That's a good point on the pick six.
You kind of took my game.
That's a great point on the pick sixes, though. I will give you that.
That is a low-key concern, but I do like the play overall. I will go to the college.
I did here.
The college world for my last game. I saw this number originally at 5.5 earlier today. Unfortunately, went up to 6.5, but I'm still going to play it. Give me Alabama minus 6.5. Sorry, Joe. I see the wins there. I think they beat the crap out of OU this weekend.
Yeah,
get revenge for last year.
I just wanted to say OU still sucks.
They do.
It's
441.
That disappoints me. I was going to play that one. You know what? I don't have to go far for my game. Let's go to tonight. Give me Louisville minus 1.5 tonight against Clemson. I think they're going to win that game by at least a field goal. Clemson's been disappointing this year. Klubnik, not good. I'll take Louisville minus 1.5.
The game's tonight.
Yep,
that's a good football game.
It is a good football team.
Well, at least game. Like on paper.
Yeah.
What was the spread on that?
1.5.
It's in Clemson.
It's at Louisville.
Interesting.
Jeremy's intrigued.
Whatever. I don't bet college sports.
I think you might place
that bet. No, I don't bet college sports.
Oh, right.
Minnesota, Oregon's tonight. That's the other top 25 game tonight.
25? Is there any other games?
Not top 25 games.
Don't ask.
Well, that's what
There's no other games.
At all?
Those are the only two games tonight.
We need more Friday Night Football.
I think it's enough.
Give me like one.
I think it's enough. I mean, you got one in each time slot. I mean, one's at 6:30, one's at 8. I think that's enough.
I mean, two games of ranked teams. I think that's enough.
That's enough.
Could get some some SEC games on Friday.
You got
night.
Some. You got some NBA
How
basketball
many
tonight.
You watch one in one window, one in the next.
You got one game's bad.
You got NIT action tonight in the NBA.
Great.
Rockets trying to that's level true. their playing field. Plus, you got college basketball. Is there any good college basketball?
Yeah, remember
games
the
on
NBA in season tournament starting tonight, according to that
one. Oh, we got a banger in college basketball tonight.
Yeah. North Carolina versus North Carolina Central?
No.
Oh.
Number 5, Arizona. Number 13, number 15, UCLA.
Okay, nice.
That's a banger of a game.
Can't wait to not watch.
Why wouldn't you watch
why
that?
Why are you being a hater?
I'm not.
What are you going to do? You're going to play Dungeons & Dragons?
I'm going to play college football 26. I'm going to watch real college football. Watch the Rockets.
Real college football?
I do need you to play college football.
I said the video game first.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to play the video game. I'm going to watch football.
That's a 9 o'clock tip.
I'm going to watch the Rockets.
What time do the Rockets do? They have like a late start today, I think. I think they tip off at 8 o'clock today.
Oh, well, there's your answer. Well, I'm not watching college basketball. A bunch of bad shooting. They play at 7 o'clock. They're at home.
For some reason, I saw 8.
I didn't know Joe was going to turn into the anti-college basketball
guy. I'm not. I just don't watch until.
You just don't want to watch top 15 college basketball when there's nothing else on because you're going to play like World of Warcraft.
I'll watch it when it matters. Look, you got teams playing.
This matters, Joe. They're playing for seeding.
You got teams playing nobody and moving up in the rankings from 2-1 for no reason.
That's very disrespectful. That's very disrespectful to the Oaklands of the world. It was before Oakland. That's very disrespectful to the Towson Tigers.
You're right.
Towson Tigers have won 20 games, four straight seasons, Joe.
Our apologies to
Towson.
You don't know ball. The Colonial. They play ball in the Colonial, Brian.
No, Colonial is a better conference.
I forgot who we beat in game one already.
I'll allow the we. You work for him.
I don't remember. Yeah. Plus, I went to school there.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, he gets the full.
You say we for Texas. You went to Texas Roadhouse University.
I do not.
He gets rings.
You don't say we for Texas?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
If you get a ring, you
I might have
say
slipped
we.
Once or twice, but no.
I wouldn't blame you for saying we for Texas. I mean, there's people there went to Chili's University that say we with Texas.
True.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. Those are our bets. I'm sure they're going to be bangers. Oh, Junkie says high school football playoffs start tonight.
Good
there
call.
You go. There you go. I wouldn't mind going watching a little high school. We're actually having a family Thanksgiving today, so we'll be doing that. Coming
early.
From an LSU. Yeah, it's the
14th?
Well, it's the only time we can all get together.
Oh, okay.
We're very busy, Brian. Very busy schedules around the family. Coming from an LSU fan, I would hammer Arkansas +5.5. Wrong team favored. Wow. Mm. Dickinson, Atascocita play tonight? That's a tough first-round game.
Go Gators.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
AJ Go Gators.
That's a first-round matchup, Dickinson and Atascocita? That's
yeah, Dickinson's
rough.
10-0. Atascocita's 6-4.
Where's isn't that game at, Adrian?
It's a rematch, isn't it? Didn't they play early this year?
Yeah, I think they did.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe it was somebody else. College basketball is a worse product than the WNBA. It's absolutely horrid.
That's a lie.
Anyone who watches regular college season basketball is as lame as the Pokemon
no.
Hunters.
No.
3-5-1, you're gone.
For sure.
You're ejected. You can come back on Monday.
Save
you're done for the rest
Thursday.
Of the week. You're out of here. Junkie says, I'm on my way to referee one of those high school football games right now,
nice.
Listening to y'all. What game are you reffing there, 2-4-2-2?
Should we take the over or the
under? Yeah, which side are you fixing the game for, 2-4-2-2? What is your underdog account have for that game that you're going to? Just kidding. You can't do that in high school sports, at least.
You know of.
Maybe on the black market. All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Old Humble Distilling Company, the setting. Swing on by. Enjoy date night here. Smoking Bowls food truck. Outstanding cocktails. Outstanding drinks. Joe.
Yes.
I would trade Jake Myers. I'm going to tell you why next. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. First, I got to tell you about the greatness that is Underdog. Football season is in full swing, and however you like to get in on the action, you can do it on Underdog. Right now in Texas, this season you can make team picks and player picks. Just download the app, sign up, and you'll get $100 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Using Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite team will win or if your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Plus, with Underdog's ultra-fast payouts, you can get your profits in a snap. So download the Underdog app right now. Use promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, to score $100 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Player picks, team picks, all on Underdog.
Is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Old Humble Distilling Company. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe's doing tire drills to get back to his seat in time.
It's true.
He just ordered food from Smoking Bowls food truck. What'd you go with?
I got the chicken bowl.
Yeah.
Chicken bowl.
Oh, okay.
Brian got the
good.
Pot stickers.
Oh, his mother's a pot sticker. 713-780-3776.
I don't even know what that's supposed to mean.
I don't either.
So I don't know if I could be offended or not.
Date night here at Old Humble.
It's not the worst thing he's ever said to me. But
Smoking Bowls food truck is out there feeding the boys. Perfect, great drinks. This is more my lane here.
Yeah.
You're happier now? What, Special Reserve on the rocks?
Yeah, you guys were drinking Kool-Aid a little bit earlier.
Look, man.
It's tasty.
Good is good. That's all that matters. It's good. Warms you up a little bit on the inside.
Did you finish it?
Well, I did, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So,
well,
so what
I mean, there's
that?
Priorities.
Yeah, I finished the drink.
Yeah, I mean, there is thirsty kids in Africa.
Thank you, 1980s mom.
713-780-ESPN. I would trade Jake Myers, guys. Apparently the standard right now in Major League Baseball is everybody wants outfield help.
Yeah.
Like, Jake Myers is a 300 hitting outfielder that plays Gold Glove level defense. Chandler Rome said there would be a market, a big market for Jake Myers. And look, I like Jake Myers. I'm not anti-Myers. I've always been like more of a Myers guy than like the consensus, I think. But the reason that I'm trading Myers is he's got 2 years left on his contract, this year and next year. So two more years of club control. But I also don't think he's ever going to do this against offensively. Like, do this offensively. What we saw last year from Jake Myers, I believe, is going to be the high watermark in Jake Myers' offensive career. I believe, look, I'm kind of a Daryl Morey believer in where I look at players as commodities. Sorry. But this, to me, is the highest value that Jake Myers will ever have. You need pitching help. You have a surplus of position players. Now, you don't really have like a guaranteed center fielder here. Like, what would be my plan in center field? Probably have a battle between Melton and Cole. Whoever wins the job wins the job. And remember last year they were talking about Cam Smith in center field?
Yep.
I wouldn't hate Cam Smith as my every now and then, see if he can do it, center fielder against left-handed pitching. Like, I'm not going to play him out there every day. It's more, okay, we have a lefty on the mound. We can't use Cole. We can't use Melton against a lefty. Cam Smith has really good range. He's a right-handed hitter. He hits lefties well. Use him as my center fielder against left-handed pitching. Every other day he's in right field if he wins the job. But then, like, if you can get a number three starter for Jake Myers, why wouldn't you do that?
Absolutely. I think it's a no-brainer at this point. Like, it's go back to the contract part of this first. Got any interest in re-signing Jake?
No.
Like, when he hits the open market? No, he's just going to walk away. He's not even probably a qualifying offer level player at this point. I mean, so I'm letting Jake walk. I'm not bringing him back. So you're going to have to replace your center fielder eventually. You've invested in Melton at least a little bit. So if you believe in him, that to me is the runaway right now of who your everyday center fielder you would like to see it be, right?
See, I like Cole more. Maybe it's the recency bias and the small sample bias. But, like, I like what I saw offensively far more with Cole than Melton. And, yeah. Like, I do think that they're kind of similar in terms of who they are. Like, they're very athletic. They're very rangy in center field. They're both guys that are going to hit for power but not much contact. They're going to strike out a ton. That's why it's a battle there. That's why, hey, we're going to have a camp battle. Whoever wins it, you're our center fielder against right-handed pitching. And then you kind of figure out what you want to do against left-handed pitching. You see if Cam can do it or not. Yeah. Who knows what they're doing with Dubon? Like, you can do far worse than Dubon as a platoon center fielder against left-handed pitching.
That'd be fine.
And if I could get a number three starter for Jake Myers, like, I'm not even going to throw out names, but just the caliber of a middle-of-the-rotation starter, you'd be drunk not to do that.
Would you take a...
And I like Jake!
I know, yeah.
I like Jake. This is not an anti-Jake stance. This is just priority. This is a pro-Astro stance in the best interest of the Astros. Jake Myers is your 8-9-hole hitter that plays a very good defense. You can trade that for a number three starter? Done. Say less.
Would you be interested in acquiring your clear seventh inning guy?
No.
So I don't want,
it's got to be a starter for me.
Okay.
I don't want to trade my gold glove finalist center fielder that has the potential of hitting 300 with not great power for a guy who's going to pitch 65, 70 innings on the year.
Yeah, would not,
I draw the line there.
I understand that.
It would have to be a starter. And it would have to be a middle-of-the-rotation starter. I don't want a sixth starter who's going to have a 450 ERA with 140 innings. He's got to be a guy that you believe is a middle-of-the-rotation starter.
Would you?
That's where my line is drawn.
How about catcher? If you want to upgrade it, if you want to upgrade Yiner, which has been reported on today from Chandler that the Astros are one of the teams that are, you know, calling around about catchers right now. So is there?
Well, they
some
had to
kind
be for a backup, right? What was Chandler's wording here?
They're one of the teams interested or calling around about a catcher.
Why does that have anything to do with Yiner?
Well, if you don't want Yiner,
but you need another catcher right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like a full upgrade.
Well, I don't think that's out there.
You don't think so?
Okay, you said trade?
Yeah.
It could be out there in trade. There's not a free agent catcher that's better.
And I really have one in mind.
Who?
Adley.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
I love Adley rushing.
Yeah, like he's on the market. They brought up one of their young catchers, the Orioles did. They paid him right away. He's going to be their catcher going forward. Adley Rutschman is going to get traded this offseason. That, to me, is – that's the guy, like, if you can go out there. Chandler also just reported the Astros are interested in acquiring Brendan Donovan, infielder Brendan Donovan.
Okay, that's interesting.
I do think that's very interesting.
Because I like Brendan Donovan. Like, he's your left-handed second baseman.
Yeah.
But that kind of contradicts – this is why I don't believe Dana Brown. Like, it contradicts Dana Brown's words of, like, the whole Isak Walker thing.
Yeah.
Because you already have an infield surplus, and now you're going to trade for Donovan? on top of that?
And like, so like you're trading one of those guys?
You would have to. One of those guys would have to be traded. You're not going to trade for another infielder without trading from your current crop of infielders. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I've liked Donovan for the last couple of years. I think he'd be a good fit.
Now, they're going to probably sell a little bit. So, like, could you do, like, a fourth starter and Donovan for Paredes kind of a deal? Or maybe they're just going to eat the Walker contract? Like, but the fact that they're already interested, it's very funny that, like, everything Dana Brown said, and you get this report that they're one of the teams interested in Donovan. It's like, well.
Joe, I told you this yesterday.
I know you did.
You know who else I wouldn't hate from St. Louis?
Who's that?
I wonder who St. Louis would want here. I wonder if this is the Yiner trade. Because the other guy that I would like from St. Louis, who I don't think is going to be very expensive because they're trying to get out of his contract. No, it's not Nolan Arenado.
Wilson?
It's Always Sunny and Sunny Gray.
Oh.
He makes a lot of money. But it's short term, and the dude's still a middle of the rotation starter.
Would you do Jake Myers for Sonny Gray and Brendan Donovan?
They wouldn't do that, but yes, I would.
Yeah,
they wouldn't. They wouldn't trade both of those guys for Jake. They might trade. They might trade Sonny. I don't know the St. Louis's like organizational depth here. So without knowing their organizational depth, I would trade Jake Myers for Sonny Gray straight up. Like, there's your middle-of-the-rotation starter.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to cost you some money, but, oh, well, you have some money to spend on starting pitching. Now, if you would have to make it a lot sweeter to get both of those guys.
Sure,
like,
sure.
It might be like a Jake Myers, Yiner Diaz for Sonny Gray, Brendan Donovan.
Okay.
Which I don't hate that because I'm kind of torn with Yiner, I'm going to admit. What I've currently seen from Yiner, he ticks me off. He annoys the heck out of me. He has to be the worst receiver in all of baseball. I don't watch every team and every single game. But Yiner Diaz is the worst receiving catcher the Astros have had since Evan Gattis. He is terrible. He is awful. His plate discipline is really, really bad. Swings at everything, not selective, doesn't work counts. My hesitation with Yiner is, though, that if he fixed that just a little, he has the potential of being a top five offensive catcher in baseball.
Yeah.
So that's my hesitation with Yiner. And he's still cheap, and he still has years of club control. So that's my hesitation there. I wouldn't be opposed to trading Yiner, but it would scare me a bit that he would take off somewhere else.
Yeah, it would be disappointing to see that success happen elsewhere. Also, quick thing I've seen about Yiner a lot. People keep trying to defend him. With the framing and receiving and all of that because of the challenge rule that's coming into play, it's like four times a game.
Joe, you've defended this.
No, not for four times a game.
You've defended this on the Junction Jack podcast that we did.
Yeah, because I thought it was going to be more than four times a game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like
you thought it was going to be the whole game?
Yeah, that you could have unlimited challenges.
All right.
You could have unlimited, fine. But
is it?
I think it's two.
I thought it was two.
I think it's two.
No, I think, like, you keep them if you're right, though.
Yeah, but it doesn't change anything.
So it could be two to like 20 if you're right every time.
But like, I don't want Yiner to be like throwing a challenge up there.
And the other thing, though, is also like, if we just eliminate that for a second, like, still it's still balls in the dirt.
Yes,
it's still preventing wild pitches. Like, it's still all of that. I do not like Yiner behind the plate, but. New hitting coaches, new catching coach. Can they unlock Yiner? So that's my hesitation there. I kind of like, and maybe shouldn't do this, but I kind of like give them the benefit of the doubt on whatever they want to do with Yiner. But Myers, if he can give you a middle of the rotation starter, goodbye. See you later.
I agree.
Now, what about Jesus Sanchez?
I would rather trade Myers. I think there's still – I think people are too down on Jesus Sanchez.
I do too. Personally. I think he's your left-handed bat.
And frankly, like, if – okay. His market sucks right now. I'd rather see him go out there and play for a couple months and move him at the deadline if you wanted to eventually move him. But like, you're not going to get anything of good value for him right now. But like, if Melton and one of these guys were to emerge this year and Cam Smith were just good on a regular basis, you want to trade Jesus Sanchez? Fine. But like, at the deadline, to me, not right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade Sanchez either. I feel like they're being... Like, I know he wasn't good as an Astro, but I would keep him around for a little bit. He doesn't need to be a starter. He's your Cam Smith insurance. He's your Yordan gets injured insurance. He's one of your bench outfielders, and he has hit right-handed pitching. I think it's a 785, 775 career OPS against right-handed pitching, which is great. It's not great. It's good. Yeah,
you just can't trade him until you see Cam Smith develop into the player you want him to be.
Yeah. I also think the trade market on him would be low. Like, if you could trade him for a number three starter, done. I just don't think that you'd get that for him. You'd get that for a, you know, high-level defensive center fielder. All right, 713-780-3776. Junkies have some thoughts on what we just talked about. Also, when we return, Do you think that Reed Sheppard has superstar potential? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live from Old Humble Distilling Company on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. The greatness that is Monument Chevy. You know you love Monument Chevy. The car buying experience, boy, it's not so fun, is it? No one likes to do it. No one likes to go get a new car, a pre-owned car. You're always worried that you're paying too much. They're going to get every extended warranty under the sun. You're going to have to upcharge and pay for all of that. You don't worry about that stuff at Monument Chevrolet. It's the beauty of Monument Chevrolet. You can trust Monument Chevrolet. They're transparent with you. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. That's why they've been in business for 50 years. They're doing something right. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to that fantastic culture that they have. You're going to get a fair deal. You're going to get a transparent deal. You're going to get a no-hassle deal without wasting your time in aggravating, stressful negotiations. The moment you step foot on their lot, you're going to feel at comfort. You're going to feel at ease the moment that you step foot into their showroom. And their lot, by the way, massive. It's so big. They have street names on their lot. It's so big. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, do it now. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com. Check out their entire inventory at monumentchevrolet.com, or just go check them out in person. They'd love to see you. 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together, let's drive.